Good afternoon and welcome to Citizens Audit Committee meeting that is publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register to convene at 1 p.m. Those in attendance through the public link are automatically in listen-only mode. Video today is scheduled as presentation viewing only. Citizens Board and committee meetings are recorded with transcribed minutes available on our website. Thank you for identifying yourself prior to addressing the committee. May I proceed with roll call?
Yes.
Thank you. Chairman Knight?
Present.
Board Chair Brough?
Present.
Governor Thomas?
Present.
Chairman Knight, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'd like to call the September 2021 Audit Committee meeting to order. Our first item of business is approval of the July 13th, 2021 minutes. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Any discussion?
No discussion.
Okay, minutes are approved. Mr. Martins, I'd like to invite you to share your executive report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, Governors. I'd like to refer you to page one of the executive summary, where I provide an overview of order progress and noted that 52% of scheduled projects during the period have been completed. Since the previous meeting, we finalized 7 engagements, and I highlight an advisory on the use of in-house counsel, where audit provided information and insights on different models and approaches for management's consideration should they choose to expand the role of the in-house counsel. We also completed an audit focused on procedures deployed to manage the billing and financial accounting impact of the policy cancellation moratorium, and also an audit of Citizens Insurance Services, which is Citizens In-House Agency. For both audits, we concluded that effective processes and controls were observed. The three project advisories were also completed. These focused on the cloud migration program and implementation of House Bill 1079 and Senate Bill 76. As part of Citizens COVID Contact Response Group, Intel Audit independently validates and certifies the identification and notification of individuals potentially exposed through contract with Citizens Independent Justice, and a number of those certifications has occurred during the period. Next slide, please. We currently have 10 engagements in progress spanning across most areas of the organization, including audits of clearinghouse operations, an audit of the effectiveness of corporate compliance program managed by the compliance officer, an evaluation of the payables process and related controls following recently implemented system enhancements. We assess the implementation of system and application logging and monitoring to ensure that appropriate event monitoring is occurring, and a post-implementation audit of the agency management system, My Agency. We also have 3 advisories and 2 project support engagements currently in progress. Next slide, please. On page 5 of the summary, we highlight that we have an additional 3 audits planned to commence later during Q4. These include the audits of the application and infrastructure standards and conformance, check printing software implementation, and the rate override technology. Those would be the last audits we'll commence within this year. Next slide, please. Audit also monitors and tracks the implementation of corrective action associated with findings. And we look at findings that are from internal audits, the Office of Inspector General, the Office of Insurance, and the Auditor General. The only items we currently have in the pack is from the internal audit. There are quite a number of findings that, not that much, but there are a number of findings that we'll bring to the next meeting that came from the Auditor General's report that we'll report on then. We haven't included that yet. And we are currently tracking 3 open observations, of which one is a high impact observation that refers to an audit that we did on OFAC. And management is keeping a close eye on the implementation of the open items. And in general, open items are addressed fairly quickly. And these 2 open items that we have in the OFAC area is also being addressed satisfactorily. We also have two vacancies in the internal audit function that is currently being recruited for. And next slide, please. Also, as a responsibility of myself is focused on internal control and enterprise risk. And the internal control is responsible for maintaining and monitoring Citizens' internal control framework. We are monitoring 119 identified primary controls throughout the organization, of which 107 is currently being assessed by the business units through the self-assessment process. And that would be completed by 30 November. The enterprise risk team facilitates, enables, and partners with the business areas to deliver forward-looking and insightful risk perspective that support decision-making. We are currently monitoring 19 risks, which are strategic risks, and 366 operational risks. And upon request, we facilitate cross-functional project and scenario risk assessments to enable risk-based decision and the proactive mitigation of risks. We also completed the implementation of our audit risk and control modules of the Office of Internal Audit's new integrated governance risk and control system, which is Audit Board. The system provides a centralized risk and control repository, self-service capabilities for the business units to update audit issue progress, risk and control information and assessments, and reporting. Finally, every five years, internal audit should obtain an external quality assessment by qualified independent reviewer to confirm conformance with the Institute of Internal Auditors Code of Ethics and the IIA standards. The assessment has been scheduled for October this year. As part of the process, the assessor has to interview the audit committee chair and executive leadership, and these will be scheduled soon. Thank you, Madam Chair. That concludes my report. If there are no questions.
Any questions? I have two questions. On the logging and monitoring, can you expand upon that? What is that employees logging into each and every system?
So the logging and monitoring audit is an application that is deployed within every application that we have, which is a logging application, and it tracks and creates a audit trail of when people access an application, what they've done in the application, and then the organization should monitor that access. And it gives you the ability to monitor access. Should something go wrong, you can always go back and see if that is operating as well as it should be. In the audit, we are going to assess whether logging and monitoring has been activated for most of the important systems that we have, and whether there's appropriate monitoring of those logs on an ongoing basis.
Thank you. And regarding the OFAC item, what is the timeline for developing the compliance program?
And the business unit recently came back to us and asked for an extension to the end of November, which we agreed on. It was September the 30th. There's quite a lot of changes throughout the organization, which includes system and process changes that is ongoing. They also just hired a assistant director to assist them with the managing of the OFAC legal requirements and to assist them further with the compliance of and assessments of the primary controls. So that person will be starting, I think, not this week, next week. And then after that, I think the corrective action will commence fairly soon.
Thank you.
Actually, I'm sure I did have a question for Spartans, if I could. On the work in progress, the reference to the claims litigation management system procurement, maybe you can't tell us much because it's part of the procurement process and it's still in progress, I'm an observer on that. I know the kind of litigation folks' involvement in it. What does the audit, what are we looking at from your perspective?
So from our perspective, we are mainly focused on the requirements, specifically focused with the requirements of the procurement. And are those requirements in alignment what E&Y suggested and alignment what the business unit expect? And then also audit that some previous audit findings that we want to make sure that those requirements have been included in the procurement. And we're fairly comfortable at this point in time that the procurement addresses all of the requirements that we would expect it to have in it. Certainly from a procurement perspective, audit doesn't really have a direct influence given the practice that we have and the legislation that's around that. But we are, and that was really the focus that audit had, is to ensure that the requirements that we have on that procurement has been included in the procurement itself and is sufficient.
Because one reason I ask is I know all the these sort of LMS systems have a substantial sort of a ability to manipulate data. So I didn't know if we were looking at it just from the standpoint of compliance with the requirement or in terms of utility for you as well.
Obviously, when you look at the requirements, some of those that I built into that is associated to the data and the access to the data and the ability to manipulate the data to actively assess the productivity and billing of the vendors. So that is an area that we did focus on when we looked at the requirements. Thank you.
No further questions. Thank you. I'll call Ms. Montero for the Chief Financial Officer report.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon. Behind tab three are the materials I'll be discussing. The document titled 2Q 2021, results of operations and financial position, and then the 2Q 2021 results of operation financial position commentary. And it's the commentary that I will be going, I'll be providing a summary of information contained in the commentary document. At June 30th, 2021, Citizens held consolidated cash and invested assets of $9.1 billion, reflecting an increase of approximately $363 million from December 2020. This increase was driven by an increase in cash flows from operations, largely as a result of an increase in written premium. Consolidated surplus at June 30th, 2021 was $6.6 billion, marking an approximate increase of $121 million from December 31st. Consolidated direct written premium for the first 6 months of 2021 was $839 million, an increase of $287 million from the same period a year prior, and $158 million greater than budgeted. Although new business rates in 2021 continue to trend below the new business rates in 2020, an increase in new policies written, largely within Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties, contribute most significantly to the overall increase in written premium. As of June 30th, 2021, consolidated ultimate direct losses and LAE related to Hurricane Irma were $2.27 billion, reflecting no change from December 31st, 2020. Of the $2.27 billion of Hurricane Irma ultimate loss and LAE across all accounts, $936 million is recoverable under Citizens reinsurance contracts with both the CAP fund and private reinsurers, and we've billed about $700 million, collected 100% of what's been billed. Consolidated ultimate direct losses in LAE related to Hurricane Michael were $150 million as of June 30th, reflecting no change since December of 2020. There are no reinsurance recoverables related to Hurricane Michael, as the attachment levels of the reinsurance arrangements were not met. Consolidated ultimate direct losses in LAE of smaller storms that impacted Florida in the latter part of 2020 increased $9.3 million from March 31st, 2021 to $154 million. This increase was a result of an increase in litigated claims for Tropical Storm Eta. No ceded recoverables were recorded due to the losses in LAE not meeting the attachment levels of reinsurance arrangements. Current accident year loss in LAE unrelated to hurricanes and sinkhole did not experience meaningful variance from the prior quarter, as development of prior accident year losses in LAE was expected. Although litigated non-weather water claims continue to be a dominant driver of loss in LAE activity within the personal lines account, the litigation rate for accident years 18, 19, and 20 continue to show improvement in comparison to accident years 2014 through 2017. With accident year 2021 showing the lowest percentage of litigated rates in recent history. Within the commercial lines account, losses in LAE related to sinkhole claims were relatively unchanged. However, the volatility in the older sinkhole claims have the potential to contribute to material quarterly variances in the reported loss and LAE ratios in future periods. Administrative expenses incurred during the first 6 months of 2021 were $67 million, or $1.5 million more than the same period in 2020, and $7.5 million less than budgeted. For the 6 months ended June 30th, 2021, Citizens' expense ratio was 17.4%, reflecting a 4.2% decrease from the same period in 2020 and a 3.5% decrease compared to budget. The total investment income during the first half of 2021 was $111 million, or $30 million less than the same period in 2020, despite a marginal increase in total invested assets. The decrease in investment income was principally driven by decreases in overall interest rates and the decline in net realized gains. With the 2021 reinsurance program in place, together with Citizens' current level of highly liquid financial resources, Citizens entered the 2021 hurricane season with ample resources to meet the needs of its policyholders. And that concludes my report, and I'll pause for any questions. Great, thank you.
Thank you. So I will just call your attention to tab four, which is the Office of Inspector General quarterly report, which is for information only. Is there any new business? No? Okay. I'd like to adjourn the September 21st audit committee meeting.
Removed.
Thank you.